Today, of course, is the auspicious appearance of Lord Nityananda Ram, and I'll read a little bit. Actually, generally I never prepare for classes, because my preparation is reading Prabhupada's books on a regular schedule, but I've given classes on Lord Nityananda's appearance day at different times, and I memorize different pastimes, but I thought today, or this evening, since I've been emphasizing the current pastime of Lord Nityananda, in other words, we're actually living in a pastime of Lord Nityananda, and I thought I'd emphasize that more than just reading or even telling you stories. If you want to read stories, you can look in the folio. There's many stories there. But if you want to find out the story now that we're experiencing, you just have to look around you. But that sometimes we don't do. But I'll read something about Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rarely is the name Nimai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taken without Nitai, Lord Nityananda. Mahaprabhu cannot be approached or understood without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who is the cardinal guru of all the universes and serves as an intermediary between Mahaprabhu and his devotees. He is Lord's active principle in both creation and Leela. He is the second body of the Lord, manifesting as Balaram to Shri Krishna, Lakshman to Shri Ram, and Nityananda Prabhu to Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the forms and expansions of the Lord emanate from this second body. Nityananda Prabhu is thus the source of Sankarshan, all the Vishnus, and Ananta Shesha. As Vishnu Tattva, he and Advaita Acharya are worshipped in the same category as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the manifested earthly Leela, Nityananda Prabhu is a senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by more than a decade. His stature-esque, like his master, and the whitish complexion of Lord Balaram. His garments resemble a cluster of blue lotus flowers, and his effulgence is said to surpass the grandeur of a rising moon at sunset. He has a deep, melodious voice, constant singing the glories of Shri Krishna, and carries a red stick with benedictions for the devotees, but feared by the demoniac. He has the carefree mood of a wild avaduta, so absorbed he is in the love of Godhead, no one knows what he will do next. Need I say more? Now we want to go know Lord Nityananda. As it explains here, Lord Nityananda is the second expansion of Krishna, and all other expansions of Krishna come from him. And it just so happens, each one of us, we actually have an expansion of Krishna within our heart. He's known as Paramatma. He's an expansion of Lord Nityananda. And he acts as the means, the interface between us and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna ultimately, the super soul within our heart. If we can understand that we have a super soul in our heart, then we can understand that we actually have a relationship with Lord Nityananda eternally. For instance, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that everyone has remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Every living entity, not only ourselves as human beings, but even the ants, the other living entities, the insects, the birds, everyone is being directed and being given remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. That source of intelligence is just like the father speaking instructions to his son, or the teacher giving instructions to his student. So that all-pervading super soul, He's known as
Paramatma.
But as I said, Paramatma, who's in our heart, is an expansion of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, he appears as the guru in disciple succession. The guru in disciple succession means that one who's heard from, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, and Srila Rupa Goswami, he instructed his followers in disciple succession, and now Srila Prabhupada appeared with the same message. Now, there's a difference between hearing the message a little bit and accepting it and actually realizing the message. When one realizes the message, then not only Lord Nityananda is there, but the whole spiritual world is there. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda in disciple succession, as the guru appears and gives instructions, he manifests within the heart of the disciple the material and spiritual creations. Just like Vidura, when he came back from pilgrimage, Maharaj Yudhisthira greeted him with the words, Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirtha bhutak swayam vibho tirtha kurvanti tirthani svantak stena katabhritaha. That saints, like yourself, they're verily holy places of pilgrimage. Because wherever you go, you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. And you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage. So my personal experience, and anyone could even now have that experience, is that for the most times when I saw Prabhupada or had his association, then it was just like being in Vaikuntha to different degrees. One time I was, Satsrup Maharaj and myself were talking to Srila Prabhupada in Dallas. Satsrup Maharaj was the president of Dallas, and I was the president of Austin, Texas at that time. So Prabhupada visited for a week, and I had a chance to stay some time with him. And I was sitting there. Usually I didn't say very much. I had asked Prabhupada questions once in a while, and he'd always give me some sarcastic answer or something. I was very careful about that. Prabhupada knew exactly where I was at. I was just sitting there, and just the whole room was like I was in Vaikuntha, and I was trying to figure out how does Prabhupada get, you know, so much spiritual energy. And the only thing that came to my mind is that he's so humble. He's so dedicated and humble. One time Prabhupada came to Boston, and as I've said this before, but he was, well, the first time I saw Prabhupada in the program, well, the first time I saw Prabhupada directly, Prabhupada came to Buffalo in 1969, and I always had a problem bowing down, because I come from New York, and you don't bow down. Someone sang a song, Bow Down, Mister. So it was a real problem for me, except the temple I joined in, there was an altar right in front of the door. It was such a small temple. And if you went to the kitchen, you had to go through the temple. If you wanted to go upstairs, you had to go through the temple. And we were instructed to bow down every time you saw the deity. So all day long, we were just bowing down. So when Prabhupada was coming to Buffalo in 1969, and I was always thinking, when I see Prabhupada, I have to remember to bow down. I have to remember to bow down. And Prabhupada got off the plane, he was walking, and he was floating. I thought he was floating, and I got so struck with wonder, I forgot to bow down. And then I finally realized that I was supposed to bow down, and Brahmananda came over and tapped me on the shoulder and said, you have to wait here and pick up Prabhupada's luggage. I said, no way, I got to see Prabhupada. And I said, all right. Brahmananda was a big guy. So then I made up for it. We went on engagement one time. We went to a Catholic university. And I was in Prabhupada was in the car behind us. And we were in the car in front. And I was sitting in the back. And somehow or another, every time I saw Prabhupada, I bowed down. Whenever the car came up, and I bowed down. And the devotees told me after, Prabhupada thought it was quite amusing. In any case, Prabhupada came to Boston in 69. And I was in the group of devotees who were going to greet him upstairs by doing bhajan. And when Prabhupada was suddenly I saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have a picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his arms out like this, and the kirtan parties in the back in Boston. And suddenly the picture started to glow. I said, wow. No drugs, by the way. And then Prabhupada walked up the steps, and the whole room turned into Vaikuntha. Wow. And everyone was in Vaikuntha, not just myself. And every time, Prabhupada was actually gave a whole lecture about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. And everything he was saying, all I could do was cry for half an hour. I usually don't cry very much. But and then Prabhupada left because he went down the steps to see the new BBT, the press, ISKCON Press, which they just installed in Boston. And as soon as he left, I was back in Boston again. So Prabhupada was not an ordinary personality in the sense that he actually was carrying the spiritual world within his heart, and he was being directed by Lord Nityananda, not the super soul. He was being directed and had the association of the Panchatattva and his spiritual master, all the way back to the Panchatattva, to the six Goswamis and the Panchatattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and ultimately to the spiritual world of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates. So that's what it means, the guru. That's actually what the guru means. Everyone else, to different degrees, is an assistant of such a elevated Mahabhagavat. And that's what we're trying to do, is assist. We have our spiritual masters in disciplined succession. They're also assisting. But what are they assisting? They're assisting the Mahabhagavats in our acharyas, in our disciplined succession, to help bring us back to their lotus feet, and ultimately to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, so that we can also get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda and his associates, our acharyas, teach us how to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy by developing the attitude of Srimati Radharani trying to bring back the souls back to the spiritual kingdom. As Prabhupada wrote to me one time, he said, the more you work seriously to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful to our efforts to serve him. Rest assured. So we cannot imagine how anxious Lord Nityananda is to bring the other children back to the spiritual kingdom. And we cannot imagine how anxious Srila Prabhupada was to serve the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in disciplic succession. And we're trying to develop that desire by hearing the instructions and trying to follow them. Now, we may wonder, what happened, ISKCON, when I joined, was, I think, maybe there was 30 devotees in the movement. And we didn't count devotees, by the way. We didn't, 20, 30 devotees, it made no difference, because we didn't know where we were in the first place, what this movement was all about. We didn't know what it was supposed to do. All I knew is that, I had to take shelter of the movement, for the holy name and the deities, etc. Exactly what the purpose was, I didn't really know. And then we got up to 50 devotees. And at that time, I was living in a Maha big temple. We had, I think, 5 devotees in there, 10 devotees. Super Maha was 15. And then it started to expand, and then we learned things like book distribution, back to Godhead distribution. First back to God, first our first distribution was in 69, back to Godheads. And we went up to the campus and we just handed them out. Because no one knew how to sell anything. And we were too embarrassed to ask for donation. So we just handed out the magazines to everyone. Once a month. We had our quota, 70 magazines to hand out once a month. And then gradually it became an economic necessity to go out and distribute the books because we had no other source of income. And I was the treasurer, and it was either getting a job or distributing books. And I chose to go out and distribute magazines, Back to Godhead at that time. And we went around with a conch shell getting donations usually. And we learned quickly how to support the temple that way. Then we were going out 8 hours a day on Harinam. Most of the devotees were chanting. Even when it got down, Buffalo, this weather here is like summer in Buffalo. Buffalo, it actually, I guess centigrade gets down to minus 30. And snow all the one time, snow all the time in the winter. It got up to, sometimes with the drifts, it would be up to 3 to 4 meters high, the drifts. Walking to the university, sometimes I couldn't see the buildings. I didn't know where they were. There's so much snow. And we'd go out in dhotis, because we didn't want to fall into Maya by putting on karmika. And we didn't have shoes, we had our usually bath slippers, the tongs. Yeah, that's what I thought too. In any case, the idea was somehow or another that our mission was to spread Krishna consciousness. Now, I mean, there were so many desires I had. I said, well, when will that day come we can actually have Prabhupada's books in a way that, because when we were traveling, we had all these books. We had to carry them around. I mean, we can't imagine carrying around like 10 books, you know, when you're traveling in an airplane. It's like, isn't, because we didn't have anything. But then when the electronic things came out and videos came out and all these things came out, you know, it was like heaven, you know. And then our movement started to go in all different directions. We went, after Prabhupada left, we got into paintings, we got into candles, we got into everything. The mantra when Prabhupada was here, if you just go out and distribute books and everything else will come. And then the new mantra is, if you simply go out and collect money, then eventually you'll be able to distribute books. So things got turned around, so I'm still a little dizzy from the whole thing. Just trying to recover. So now, you know, everything was going along and I was making more and more mileage credits. That's more than my devotional credits. I was getting mileage credits. And then the pandemic came along. I said, what? Then after some time I realized that this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to the world and to the Hare Krishna movement. That finally we have time to think about actually what Prabhupada wanted. And Prabhupada was not praying that technology can increase, industrialization can increase. Prabhupada wasn't counting his mileage credits so he can get a free trip. No, Prabhupada wanted to, he tried to establish, somehow or another Krishna manifested this industrialization, this technology, so that Prabhupada could travel around the world. And so these books could be printed in great numbers and distributed. And then Krishna put the brakes on it. So we can start thinking actually what this is all about. What is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what does Lord Nityananda actually want? They want farm communities. Because most of us grew up in the city and we don't want to get our hands dirty. You know, a cow, my God, this machine is so difficult. It makes all kinds of sounds. Better to, you know, go to the store and get a carton of milk. It's so convenient, all these, you know, you can just go to the grocery store and you can go somewhere and you just, so convenient, everything is so convenient. So convenient that we're completely dependent on it. Completely dependent on technology, completely dependent on the industrialization, and we don't, our faith in Krishna, consciousness, that Krishna is actually supplying. That actually if we depend upon Krishna, then we'll get all our necessities. Lord Nityananda was he's an avaduta. He was traveling around sometimes naked. He didn't rely upon anything. All he was thinking about is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He was the perfect example. He didn't know if it was day or night sometimes. Malati, Srivastakura's wife, sometimes she'd give Lord Nityananda some cakes to eat because she was acting as just like a mother to Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda looked at the cakes and picked them up and threw them out the window. He didn't know he was an avaduta. He didn't know it was day or night. And Malati said, but Lord Nityananda, how am I going to feed you? That's all I had. Lord Nityananda just smiled at her. She said, just go in the other room. So she went into the other room and the cakes were there. A little dirty, they had some dust on it. But then she gave them to Lord Nityananda. So we may think he's the super, you know, I'm God, I'm the super solid, but he wasn't even aware of exactly what was happening. Malati one day had the aarti tray, and on the aarti tray was a bell, and one crow came and stole the bell and flew away. And Malati was very disturbed because she thought when my husband, Srivastakura, comes, he's going to become very angry at me. That I've lost this bell, the aarti bell. So she was crying. Lord Nityananda came and said, what's wrong? He said, the crow stole the bell. And here's the crow, he's sitting on the windowsill and he's just laughing at me. So Lord Nityananda said, go get the bell to the crow. So the crow flew off, came back and put the bell at Malati's lotus feet. And Malati was saying, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're the Super Soul, you're the source of it. And Lord Nityananda just smiling at her and trying to touch her feet and running around trying to touch her feet because he was completely oblivious about exactly what was going on. So that's Lord Nityananda, completely innocent, like a little babe, like a little child, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's living in our heart. And he has practically the same mood, just watching. But he's not judging anyone. He's just watching. And when he comes and appears as Lord Nityananda in the heart of the devotees, such as Srila Prabhupada and the other acharyas, then they're completely in love with everyone. And they simply are the well-wisher of all living entities, completely innocent, not thinking of themselves, especially in the form of Lord Nityananda, as the Supreme, only thinking themselves as the servant of everyone else and trying to help them. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's manifested this pandemic so we can get out of this, our fever of materialism can go down and we can actually start thinking about what Prabhupada was talking about, that he wasn't just imagining, you know. Sometimes we've heard some devotees say that Prabhupada was like an old Indian gentleman from India. You know, somehow or another, he had some quaint ideas about, you know, Varnashram Dharma and how, you know, the Krishna consciousness movement should go on. I guess everyone can have their opinion. Everyone had their opinion about Krishna also. But what Prabhupada was actually introducing is, first of all, it's going to be survival, what to speak of Krishna consciousness. Every yuga, Kali Yuga, Chaitanya, Krishna comes as an avatar. Only in this yuga does he come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once in a day of Brahma. And his other incarnations, the chanting goes on, but that chanting is sufficient just so that people can survive. The rain can come, the grains can grow, and people can get something to eat. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation, just by chanting, that naturally comes also, but something more is there also. Somehow or another, our society, in general, has just kind of like veered off in some other direction, which is normal. When the acharya leaves, then actually there's confusion. And believe me, I was confused enough, and I was, a lot of my other god brothers are as confused, if not more confused than I was. I mean, that was the, it was a very nice experience in the sense that it really helped me take shelter of Prabhupada. Because there's nothing else to take shelter of. In any case, this is what this is all about. It's not an option. Either we go in the direction of sinful life, the sinful economic system that goes on, and we all go to hell hand in hand, or we take seriously Prabhupada, and we actually establish Varnashram, at least this in the sense farm communities, where we actually, not farm communities, just to survive and have cows and get our food, but also farm communities so we can have a sane mind. We don't have to worry day and night what the stock market is, whether they're going to print up more pieces of paper called money, they can call it money, whether the our friends who are running the world, you know, if they came from the lower planets and their only aim is to devour the citizens. If we're living on a farm, if we're actually self-sufficient, then at least to that extent that people become free from anxiety. And when we're free from anxiety, we can actually hear something other than what's going to happen tomorrow. Whether I have to get vaxxed or not vaxxed in order to live. I have a number of disciples in Australia and other places, and they're in anxiety. You can't believe how much anxiety they're in. They don't want to take this jab. It's the last, but they have, some of them have absolutely no choice if they want to live or survive. So such a situation is very unfortunate. And this is going to simply go on in this way or that way. And the only shelter is actually become apart from this economic system that's going on. And at the same time, give people the opportunity by having kirtan, harinam, and distribution of transcendental knowledge and prasadam, give people an alternative. Right now people don't know that Krishna, that by chanting Hare Krishna you can become eternally blissful. That ultimately you don't need anything else. This world is actually part of the spiritual world, and even this world becomes blissful in Krishna consciousness. What to speak of the internal world of the spiritual world, which is manifested now in the Krishna book, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can actually live in the Krishna book. We can actually live in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not just, you know, we're going to make a little shack out of Chaitanya Charitamritas. No, actually, we can actually live in spiritual consciousness. The soul actually lives transcendentally. And there's a world of bliss and love and awareness that we can live in and not be so much concerned, overwhelmed by this world, which we're actually not part of. In any case, we have to live in this world now. And by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, by the mercy of his representative, Srila Prabhupada, we have this opportunity now to actually understand what Srila Prabhupada's value is. Who actually Srila Prabhupada is, and how much we have to take shelter of him and his instructions. We're not just having a little Guru Pooj every day, and sometimes now we have Vyas Pooj of Srila Prabhupada, And because it's the day after Janmashtami, it's very hard for devotees to celebrate it sometimes. It's a big burden. But the only hope we have is to take shelter of Prabhupada. Now we take shelter of Prabhupada also through taking shelter of those who are taking shelter of Prabhupada. But ultimately, unless we connect with Prabhupada, if we actually connect with Prabhupada, then we'll have a lot of people walking around carrying the spiritual world with them. And then this whole civilization will actually be converted into a spiritual, into the spiritual world. But unless we understand the value of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, and actually try to manifest what he's talking about, what he was preaching about, what he established, Gurukul, it's not an option. Farm communities are not an option. A transcendental cultural revolution, convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not an option. The alternative is this hell that we're living in right now. And if we think it's not hot enough, don't worry, they're going to turn up the heat even more. Until we all start burning. The Christians don't have to go around saying you're all going to hell. We'll be right there. Whereas Prabhupada once said, when he was in London, they asked Srila Prabhupada, do you believe in hell? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, what is hell like? He said, it's like London. So we want to wait around to find out what London's like. Or we have the alternative. Now, of course, when I say things like that, you know, we think, my God, you know, we're all going to move out to the farm. We have Madan Kishore, Madan Manohar, Madhu Manohar. We're all going to move out to his place and first one to get there. First ones to get there, get a place to sleep. No, obviously it's going to have to be, quote, a gradual process until, you know, things get too tough. That we're suddenly going to pick up the pace a little bit more. But we take so many things for granted that we're not going to be able to take for granted. If you have the unfortunate opportunity to read the newspapers, you'll find out they're not waiting for the Hare Krishna movement to spread. The demons are not waiting. Let's wait for the Hare Krishna movement to spread before we try to take over the world. Try to enslave everyone. You know, just give them a little time. The Hare Krishna is a little slow. But they're sincere. Eventually they'll pick up. It's not the way things are going to work. The heat's going to be put underneath us, and we're going to suddenly get very enthusiastic to follow Prabhupada's instructions. Because everyone likes to eat. And we'd like a place to sleep, and we'd like to live more than a couple of more years. And not walk around as a robot. Yes. So, we have to take our, at least what we can do within our realm of Lord Nityananda as the super soul. If we pray to him, if we pray to Prabhupada, if we try to get instructions from Guru Sadhana and Shastra, then they'll give us instructions, intelligence, to chant our rounds a little bit better, try to tell people about Krishna, don't be shy, tell people, don't, I remember it came to the point in our movement, the devotees were so embarrassed to be a devotee that devotees in America, I don't know about here, maybe here too, that they wouldn't go out, when they went to the store around the block to get a loaf of bread, of course they don't buy a loaf, but to get something in the store, they had to put on what we call karmi clothes because they're afraid to be identified as devotees. Just a short thing, when I was preaching, I was a chaplain at the University of Delaware for some time. We had a preaching center. And we had three devotees in our preaching center. And two of them went out and sold paintings. And I went up every day to the university to distribute books. And for them, I was, this is 1980, 84 or something. And for them, I looked like a Martian. And boy, did they make fun of me. They'd drive by and throw things at me from the car and honk their horns. And then after six months, they got used to me. They didn't really, you know, then we started to do programs at the university and things really started to pick up. People started to join from the university and then the university just closed us down. They couldn't take it. We didn't realize it. They needed students for money and we were taking their money away. We weren't so intelligent at that time. But my point was that when people get, after a while you walk around in a dhoti or a sari, people just get used to it. There's nothing to get on their case. And even some people, when we were going strong, the Hare Krishna movement, even sometimes on Halloween, people would dress up as devotees. They put on these caps with a little of their hair coming out. It became popular being a Hare Krishna. Even the president of Croatia, at the end of his speech, he was having a real hard time. And at the end of the speech, he goes, you know, complete frustration, he goes, Hare Krishna. So there's nothing to be embarrassed about. And we have to glorify Prabhupada. May his name be spread all the three worlds. His instructions. Prabhupada said that this movement will go down as saving the world in its darkest hour. As far as I see, it's getting pretty dark. So, let's do our bit. Chant our rounds better. Read Prabhupada's books. See whatever we can do under their present circumstances to help further this movement, to try to understand Prabhupada's instructions, try to understand the value of Prabhupada. If our current spiritual masters initiating and instructing can help us appreciate Prabhupada, they'll be doing the greatest service to us that they could possibly do. Not only Prabhupada as a personality, but also what he came to give us in terms of his books and the instructions in it and the world that he wanted to create through them. And if we somehow or another become an instrument for that, then we'll be doing the greatest service for ourselves and everyone else. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Lord Nityananda, Ram Ki Jai.